Oh, my mic is like really low.
Really low.
Really low.
Like Amitabh Bachchan's voice.
Exactly. Deep as the depths of the sea.
Yes, yes, which are literally depthless. Like, there's so much depth, we don't even know.
Depthless.
Or depthful.
Depthful, full of depth.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood besties.
Yeah, a lot of friendship in this one.
Yeah, Bollywood partners in crime. You know, I feel like the phrase singing and dancing and Bollywood boys was maybe even never more true than for Sholay.
That is very true. I was really tempted to say Bollywood angry young men, but like, they're not angry until they have reason to be angry.
It's true. And so, I don't even know if this is like, is this part of the angry young man canon? Like, we'll find out.
Yeah. I could see it going either way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It still seems like he's a bit of a romantic in this one. So.
Yeah. And it's he's also kind of like a goofball, you know?
Yeah.
But as you know, you may have noticed, this is also like early enough in Amitabh's career. He's fourth billed in this movie.
Right.
He's like,
yeah,
down in the credits.
which is amazing, frankly. Yeah. Like, yeah. What did you think of Sholay?
I loved it. I truly, truly loved it. I'm going to be honest that I don't tend to gravitate towards like movies from before the 90s, like in any industry.
Right.
Certainly there are some things I've seen that I've absolutely loved, but for the most part, I'm like, I'd rather stick to like what's familiar. So I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this movie. I loved it. I was so into it. Like right out the gate was just like, this is excellent. And
yeah,
and it just continued to be excellent.
It was, you know, I get a little worried when you get used to, movies coming out like 50 years in the future.
Yeah.
Where tropes have changed, pacing has changed,
yep,
like just the expectations you have from a movie are a certain way. I was a little bit like, yeah, sometimes if you put something on from the 70s, you're going to be like, I don't get it.
It just doesn't quite click in the same way.
Yeah. But I did feel like it immediately grabbed attention,
yep,
and held it. I did really like it. I have like a few criticisms about some of like the character development or things that I felt like, why didn't we get into that more?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, why did we have that if we weren't going to get into it more? But overall, I really liked it. I was honestly surprised by how amazing Basanti was.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, when you're watching a movie from the 70s, you don't necessarily expect a woman to be as strong as she is.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that completely. I don't want to spoil anything, but I do. There is an interview with the actor,
ooh,
Hema Malini, that I reference in my research. So we've got that to look forward to.
I'm very excited about that. Yeah, so let's just get into it.
Yeah!
I think there's going to be a lot to talk about. We have Sanjeev Kumar as Tucker. I did love it. Like, the acting performance was phenomenal. The arm stuff, we're going to get into.
I did laugh.
It was the 70s. There's a moment where I was, like, busting a gut laughing. So I was like, what are we doing here? I love it so much. Dharmendra as Viru.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Oh my God, he's so handsome.
He's so handsome. He's so striking. He's so attention grabbing.
Yeah.
Just with, like, the way that he acts, I'm like, you can command a room.
Yes, absolutely.
I am here for it. Yeah. And I would like to watch more of him.
I really, this is one of those moments that I think makes our podcast so funny, because I'm just, like, picturing all of the people listening to this being, these two white women watching their first, we've seen movies where Dharmendra kind of has, like, a cameo type level role, but, like, I just,
it's like, have you heard of this guy called Dharmendra? I think we discovered him.
And he's like literally one of the most famous guys.
One of the biggest. But yeah, which obviously.
We're new to this. I mean, we're not new to this world, but we're new to some of it. There's a lot to discover. Yeah. But I felt like my feelings towards this were like, I came here for Amitabh and I stayed for Amitabh, but I also stayed for Dharmendra. You know what I mean? It was
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So then we have Amitabh Bachchan, obviously, as Jay. And then we have our two ladies, Kima Malini as Basanti. And then Jaya, it doesn't have her maiden name on IMDb. It has Bachchan, but she was listed with her born name, even though they'd been married by that point.
Yes, yeah.
Which I appreciated, but yeah. As Radha. She was playing Radha. Yeah.
I did also want to make sure to mention, in case you didn't know this, that Dharmendra and Hema Malini are married.
They got I did not know that.
They got married in 1980, and so there was definitely some flirtiness happening on the set of Sholay. Yeah. Which was maybe a little scandalous because I think Dharmendra was already married, but
we all have a journey.
Yeah, we do. And he and Hema Malini are still married, so it's like it's been 50 years.
And it was directed by Ramesh Sippy.
Indeed it was.
So we're gonna do it. Let's go.
I'm ready.
We're getting into it. Mm-hmm. Okay. We start with a train pulling into a station, and a warden disembarks. He arrives at the home of Talker, who sent a letter asking for his help. Talker says that he's looking for two men, and he shows a picture of them to the warden, who says that he recognizes them as notorious thieves. Talker says that they're the perfect men for a mission he has. Mm-hmm. And when the warden is surprised by this, Talker tells him a story of when he previously caught Viru and Jay and was transporting them to prison on a train. Mm-hmm. And we get a flashback. And again, within like 10 minutes, we are in it.
We are in the action.
Yes. This train gets boarded by some bandits. And Viru and Jay ask Talker if he wants to test their bravery so that they can help fight off these bad guys. Mm-hmm. And so Talker shoots their handcuffs off of them. And I made a side note here that, like, because the bullet kind of, almost as if it's 3D, the bullet, like, goes, you know, towards the screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I imagine that special effect was so exciting in theaters. Yeah. You know, you're going to see this big action movie, and then it's like, whoa. And they did that a few other times throughout the film.
Yeah.
Which I loved. Yeah. And I also made a note here already that I loved the sound editing. Mm-hmm. Like, just the background music of, like, the fighting and stuff. It was very well done.
Yeah, it was. I also made a note here about, you had mentioned when we did the research for Superboys that in the actual, like, Sholay of Malagao, they did this, like, with a bus and bikes.
Mm-hmm. Which must have been so fun.
Yeah, yeah. But We've got the real thing here. We've got the trains, we've got the horses. A lot of horses in this movie.
A lot of horses, yes.
And there were definitely some moments that I wasn't happy about what happened to the horses.
Yeah. I was keeping an eye out on that, and for the first like quarter of the movie I was like, okay, this all seems like on the up and up. And then there's a few like where you clearly tripped the horses, and that's not cool.
No.
Because in the 70s they didn't have the ability to fake that. So that's real.
And it's scary to watch. Like, it makes my heart
jump
into my throat.
Also, there's no guarantee that the horse wouldn't break its leg when you do that.
It just seems so needlessly dangerous.
Yeah, like, in the beginning sequences, you can tell the guys are kind of just throwing themselves off the horses. Yes. And I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, for stunt riders to take on that danger when they know it. And a lot of them were jumping into water, which is also helpful.
Yep.
But yeah, I did notice they tended to use like the same horses because I pay attention to horses.
You do. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
I recognize them. I'm like, I've seen you before. There was also during this train scene, it happened at least once that they used the same shot, but from different angles.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. So like you see a guy fall off of a horse from like the side and then they switch to it from the front. And I'm like, wait, that guy's back on that horse. And now he's falling. Yes. But I'm like, I get it. Yeah. You've got the shot. Use it. That's fine. Most people aren't going to be like, wait a second. That's the same horse.
That's true. I didn't notice. So.
Yeah, I did notice. But only because I'm a horse nerd.
Yeah.
And so anyway, as more bandits ride up to the train on horseback, Viru runs atop the train to fight off the bad guys in the engine room, and Jay helps Tucker at the back of the train, like shooting at dudes. Viru shovels coal into the engine to make the train go faster while, yeah, Jay and Tucker are doing their thing. And somehow all the bandits end up on, like, the fuel car because it's just carrying a car full of, like, gasoline containers.
Sure.
And so Viru just shovels some flaming coals onto it so that that whole part of the train explodes.
Yay!
So all those bad guys are dead, yep. Presumably. But wait, there's still one more guy. And he shoots Tucker in the shoulder. And Jay gets Tucker to safety and then shoots the bandit dead. And the remaining bandits on horseback run away. They're like, this was bold of us. We are not going to do it. The idea of taking on a train is wild.
It is. Yeah. When you're on horse, like, it's also like, it's the 70s. It's the 1970s.
Yeah.
There must be easier targets.
Like, yeah. Also true. Also motorcycles.
Oh, yeah, they could have, yeah. That was, I did think, I was like, the fact that there are so many horses in this movie is just, it's like, it's putting me in mind of, like, an earlier time, but then we have, like, the most 70s costumes.
Oh, right. And I guess it kind of makes sense, because they are, like, they're in a like, more rural area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people probably didn't have the money for, like, motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah, bandits couldn't afford motorcycles in the 70s.
Yeah, no, but they, yeah, there were horses around. You could just steal horses.
Yeah.
but yes, okay, so Viru and Jay start to make their own move to jump off the train and escape when Tucker catches them, and then he immediately passes out from loss of blood.
Yeah.
And Viru and Jay debate whether they should take him to a hospital and get 4 to 6 months in jail, because obviously they'll be caught if they do that, or should they escape and just let him die? And they flip a coin, and they end up taking Tucker to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a common thing when they flip a coin to make a decision for themselves.
Indeed.
Back in the present, Tucker asks the warden if he'll be able to find the boys, as I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And the warden says if they're in prison somewhere, yes, but if they're free, it'll be very difficult. Luckily, like, Jay and Viru are currently free, but not for long because they're criminals.
Yeah.
And we see exactly what they're up to, which is stealing a motorcycle. Here's a motorcycle. Great, we got one. And they sing a delightful song about how they're friends for life. And honestly, the shenanigans that happen in this number, they got me. They did make me chuckle.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, like the motorcycle's about to tip over and it's like, ah.
I found this delightful. I wasn't expecting this energy from this movie. I think I had always thought of it as being like high drama.
Yeah, me too.
And so then to see this, just like this goofy, lighthearted, sweet friend number was so great. And I love it at the end, Viru, like, is on Jay's shoulders as he's, like,
yes.
driving the motorcycle. I'm just like, that's so fun. It's so campy and ridiculous, and it's great.
Yeah, they're just, like, besties, and they love each other. It's great. Next, Jay and Viru go to visit a guy who sells wood, and they tell him that they want to go to prison, and they want him to be the one who turns them in so that he can get the reward for their capture. Then, when they're released, Viru and Jay will get half the reward money. It's, like, not a bad plan if you're willing to spend some time in jail.
Isn't that what, in Zorro, isn't that what Zorro and his brother do?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love Zorro. Like, can we watch that for the podcast? But no, it's not. It's not what we do.
No. But we could just watch it another time.
I know. The trick is, like, you know, we've just been watching a lot of horse stuff, and I was like, that's horse stuff.
That's
and,
definitely,
you know,
horse
bandity stuff, yeah. And fights and Anthony Hopkins.
And Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. Love it.
It's good stuff.
I feel like we've moved into our Zorro era. Like, you know, I feel like last year we talked a lot about Princess Bride, uh-huh. or, you know, whatever. And now we're bringing up Zorro a lot.
This is now the second time we've referenced Zorro.
Yes.
So, I just, yeah, could be a running theme. I don't have as many references to Zorro as I do for the Princess Bride, but...
Yeah.
I can work on that.
Yeah. Let's just watch a lot of Zorro. I could do that. But anyway, Vero and Jay enact this plan. And I'd originally written a whole bunch of the time that they spend in prison because I thought it was going to be important. It's not really, but basically there's a very silly warden who they just, like, trick and they, like, escape from prison.
Yeah. The physical comedy through this whole jail sequence was very funny. Like,
it was,
like,
yes.
I was, like, actually laughing out loud through a lot of
it. I love how... Yeah, the warden, like, couldn't walk properly.
Yeah,
like, he just always was tripping.
Whoever that actor was, like, just the physical comedy, like, the way he would sort of, like, fall over and stuff, it looked so natural and real, and like, real, and, like, that kind of thing is what really gets me, is just people, like, doing weird things with their bodies.
Yes. No, it was very funny. There was also a moment when he was, like, no bird will even flap its wings unless I tell it to. And then a bird, like, smacks him in the face. Like, I did enjoy that. And I also like how he's like, they keep transferring me, but I won't change.
I won't change. I know, I wrote that down too. And I was like, that's exactly what you do. If someone, like, notices a problem about your behavior, you just move on to the next place and keep acting exactly the same. That's super healthy.
Yeah. No, so, like, that bit was fun and, you know.
But yeah, it has nothing to do with the plot. It was just there for, for giggles.
Yeah. So Jay and Viru go back to the woodyard where the guy who turned them in is, like, telling this embellished story about how he caught them. I also get the feeling that they were only gone for, like, a couple of days.
It did seem, yeah, it was pretty brief.
Yeah. So Viru and Jay walk in on this and they're very unimpressed. And they're like, we're back to collect our 1,000 rupees from our deal. And they get the money, but then immediately get arrested by the cops again.
Mm-hmm.
And the warden that Talker sent to find them does find them in one of the prisons. So he informs Talker, and Talker is there to meet Viru and Jay when they leave this prison.
Yes.
So Talker asks them to do a job for him, and he offers to pay them 20,000 rupees, which is a lot.
It is, yeah.
And he explains that the job is catching a notorious criminal named Gabar Singh. And in addition to the 20,000, he's also going to let them keep the reward from the cops, because the cops want Gabar, like, either dead or alive. They're not really picky. When they ask why them, Talker says that sometimes you have to fight fire with fire. So the boys flip a coin to decide whether to take on the job, and they do. They take a train to Tucker's village, where they catch a ride to his house from a chatty woman named Basanti.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I love how Jay immediately is just kind of annoyed by how much she talks, and Viru's into it.
I wrote, there's a lid for every pot.
Yeah, exactly. And I do like that she's like, you know, people are like, what's a woman doing driving a carriage? And she's like, well, my horse is a girl and she can pull a carriage, so why not?
Hey, it's a good argument.
It's great. And she and this horse show up, like, a lot.
And they're best buds. They're this horse is great.
Yeah. But they arrive at Talker's house and Talker gives them their initial payment. And Viru notes that Talker has a safe full of cash and jewelry. So he mentions that to Jay, but Jay is distracted by a beautiful woman in the house named Radha.
Yes.
He tries to ask a servant about her, but the servant completely ignores him. The boys chat, and they agree to rob Talker tonight and then run away. Because they are thieves, you know? I do appreciate this. They're like, we're still going to do whatever's easiest for us.
Yeah.
That night, Jay and Vero sneak into the main house and try to crack the safe, but they're interrupted by Radha, who just straight up offers them the key. She says it has jewelry that she has no need of because she is a widow.
Yeah.
She also says that they can take the money in the safe because it will put an end to her father-in-law's false hopes, hopes that he's put in the two of them. And I'm like, ouch.
Yeah, yeah. She has a quiet strength to her as well, you know? It's like she's not as flashy yeah. of a heroine, but she, like, no. she knows what's going on.
Yes, she does. Yes. The next day, Jay returns the safe key to Radha and tells her it won't happen again. Meanwhile, Basanti goes to fetch some mangoes for her aunt. I had to include this. Because as she's reaching up for one, Viru shoots it free.
Yeah.
Literally firing his gun in the direction of this woman that he likes.
That's like the first rule of gun safety. Don't shoot at people.
Exactly. Especially not people you like.
Yeah.
And have a romantic interest in. So then Viru tries to put the moves on Basanti by, quote, teaching her how to shoot. When really he just wants to feel her body.
Always.
Yep. And she calls him out on it, which I'm like, good for you, Basanti. Yeah. She, like, nothing gets by her.
No.
I love it.
Sharp as a tack.
And Jay's love story with Radha seems to be going a bit better because that night he serenades her from afar with a harmonica.
I just loved this whole thing. I was very into this love story. Like,
it was great. Like, yeah. I also loved the juxtaposition of, like, Viru and Basanti having this kind of more loud, like, back and forth, you know, yeah. love. Then Jay and Radha, it's so much quieter.
Yeah.
And, like, more romantic and less flashy.
Yes. And yeah. I was gonna say this before, too. I feel like they do such a good job, like, right out the gate. You know, it's like, okay, Viru's the kind of madcap, goofy one, and Jay's yes. the cool one. It's just, like, it's yes. immediately there. I also mm-hmm. just had the thought, I was like, was it intentional then in Doom, were they like, Abhishek's Jay is oh, the, yeah, like, cool, very, yes. like, you know, level-headed one, and then Uday Chopra, what's his character's name, Ali, yeah, is, like, a goofball. Anyway, that's my, I've just decided that that's a reference to Sholay.
I mean, I'd believe that.
I think I think many things are, and it's fun now that we know about it.
yeah, exactly. No, I'm happy we watched this, for sure. Me too. The next day, some bandits ride into the village, demanding shares of the farmer's crops. Talker shows up and tells them that he will not allow Gabar to steal any food from the villagers, and he will stop these bad guys. Well, him and his gods.
My gods!
Exactly. That's a Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah. That's the other thing. That, you know, that and Princess Bride. Yeah, now Zorro. Yes, it's all, yes. yeah.
Keeps coming back. Sometimes Shrek.
And Arrested Development also comes up yeah. a lot. Yeah.
That's us.
What can we say? We're white people.
we are very white people. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Then the bad guys see Viru and Jay standing with guns nearby looking menacing. Mm-hmm. And Tucker tells the bad guys that the village is done feeding rabid dogs and Gabar will get no more food from them.
Oof.
Yeah. The bandits go back to Gabar and tell him about these two guys who scared them off, and Gabar ends up shooting them for being cowards and ruining his fearsome reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a totally unhinged way.
But. Oh, yeah. I did write, though, I thought it was, like, the part where he, like, he's, like, laughing at his, you know, you thought I was going to shoot you, and then he does.
Right.
But, like, the laughing went on so long.
That it was so long.
I was like, what if this scene just ends?
Yeah, and they're like, ha, ha, ha.
And then we just get back to the heroes. Gabar Singh is just, like, a goofy, laughy guy, but no, he shoots them.
Yeah, he's a creep.
The word unhinged was appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next, we get a dance number, and it's Holly.
Yay!
Yeah. But then the bandits show up, and they set stuff on fire, and they start shooting villagers.
Yeah.
Which isn't cool.
No, definitely not.
Viru and Jay steal guns from some bandits and start fighting back, and it's another big shootout. But then Jay and Viru are both out of bullets, and Jay gets surrounded by a group of bandits, and for a moment it seems helpless. But then Jay kicks a guy off his horse and steals his gun. I did really like that moment, and that is where it's helpful to be like 6'4", 6'3", however Absolutely. Tall Amitabh is.
Yeah.
He's got very long legs.
Long legs, you can really, you can kick someone before they can kick you.
You can use them as weapons, yeah. As we learn. But then it actually is hopeless because Gabar arrives, mm-hmm. like with more bad guys and stuff. And Jay is neutralized, and then Gabar calls out for his partner to reveal himself or else he'll shoot Jay. So, of course, Viru emerges.
Mm-hmm.
Takaru is watching all of this happen, and Gabar sees him. And so Gabar teases Takaru and then tells the villagers that these men can't save them from him. The only person who can save them is Gabar himself, and he'll ensure their safety as long as they give him the crops he demands. Gabar then tells Viru and Jay to beg for mercy at his feet. Jay walks forward as if he's going to do that, only to kick powder into Gabar's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. And then Viru starts attacking the guys again, and all hell breaks loose. Basanti's also in this mix. She steals some guns with her, like, horse and carriage, and she picks the boys up.
Love it.
And they're all able to fight back enough that the bandits run away.
Good it's job. Great.
Basanti's awesome.
She's just, like, brave. A part of the crew now. Yeah.
Yeah. Afterward, Viru tells Tucker that they can no longer fight his war for him, and he calls him a coward for not picking up a rifle and fighting. But Tucker says he's not a coward, and he has his reasons for not picking up a rifle.
I'm sorry.
I know. It's like, not funny.
It's not
but it
funny
is.
What happened to him. It's horribly tragic.
The way,
but
the way that it's done is
and,
funny.
And I also, like, I when it then is revealed, I, like, remembered all the stuff from Superboys,
yes,
and
from,
I was like,
yes.
Oh, okay, I should have guessed that that was what was happening here. But
I mean,
anyway.
It was, as it was, like, gearing up for it, I was like, oh my god, wait, wasn't there, like, an arm thing
there was
in Superboys?
There was something about and, arms, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Takaru tells a story about years ago when he chased Gabar after Gabar had committed a robbery. There is a lawn horse chase and there's some shooting, but finally Takaru is able to catch Gabar with his arm around Gabar's neck. Gabar ends up getting sentenced to 20 years in prison, but he vows to escape and come after Takaru for revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we see Takaru telling a colleague that he's going on leave to see his family, whom he loves a lot.
Yeah.
He has two married sons, a daughter, and a grandson. Uh-huh. And right after Takaru leaves to go home, the police get word that Gabar has escaped from prison. They clearly need to have, like, better prisons or something?
Everyone's just escaping from these prisons.
Like... Right and left. And, like, dangerous people are escaping.
And maybe, you know, as funny as the warden with the Hitler mustache was at the one prison, maybe we do need to hire better people to keep actual criminals in jail, you know?
Right. Yeah. Anyway, at Tucker's house, we see his family busy preparing for his arrival, and they're all very sweet with each other until they all get shot and killed by Gabar.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The way you presented that was really funny. But I did the... The fact that it was, like, silent, they didn't have, like, music, and then there's just, like, the silence, then the creaking swing with Gabar was, like, it was just very, very well done. It was so eerie and uncomfortable and, and really sad.
Well, it was, like, when you could see the one son, like, up, you know, firing his gun, I was, like, okay, we're gonna, I like what they did there, where it's, like, they're used to hearing him fire it, so it's, like, whatever, but then they look and, you know, oof. Oh, it's good.
And then also, like, the whole thing with the way the grandson is killed is just also so... Because you kind of, like, you're kind of hopeful for a second that maybe somehow
but
he
then...
lived. But, it just... It's really dark and bleak and in the middle
of
this movie that so far has been so, like, happy, but it fits. Like, I thought it's...
Right.
It was really well done.
And I like the contrast between that just serves to make Gabar even scarier.
Yes,
to
exactly.
us. And we're like, ooh, this is like a really bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I also appreciate that they don't show that. It's like the implication is more than enough in that instance.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Tucker arrives home only to find the covered bodies of his family. Mm-hmm. His daughter-in-law, Radha, is the only member still alive. So he looks over the faces of his dead family, then he immediately leaps onto a horse and rides after Gabar. So he rides into Gabar's camp and is immediately captured. And Tucker rages and attempts to hit Gabar, and Gabar comments that there's a lot of life left in Tucker's arms. So Gabar gets two swords and just, like, chops his arms off.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, those also have to be pretty sharp swords.
You
have to hit that angle just right.
Right. Well, and it also, like, it cuts away, which is also, okay, so...
Yes. Like, the editing, yes.
It cuts away so it's not, like, super gory and violent. It's, yeah. like, again, it's the implication. But this was the moment where I laughed out loud because... Just this, it's so clearly a man with arms, with his arms tied behind his back. And I understand it's the 70s, you know, they're not gonna be using like the elaborate special effects that a movie today might use to get this across, but like it was just
clearly a man.
I could not help but laugh.
No, it was very funny because it's also like this very dramatic reveal. Yes, exactly. And then it's like, well, dude, just put your arms through your sleeves and you'll have arms again. Yeah. It's fine.
It was kind of the contrast, and I'm sorry to giggle. Like, there's really, I think that they did a great job with this, but it was silly. I could not help but find it silly.
But back in the present, a cop comes around to talk to the villagers about the most recent attack, and Tucker tells the cop that the police will get Gabar one day, dead or alive. But we can assume he means dead.
Yeah.
Because he wants him alive. And when Tucker gets back home, Jay and Viru actually return the money he'd paid back to him and say they will complete the mission, but not for money. Aww. They also give him their word that they will bring Gabar to Tucker alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just like, I like that this is now like a righteous mission.
Yeah, they're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Then the three men learn that Gabar will be going to meet up with his arms dealer in a few days. So they make a plan to strike while the iron is hot.
Arms dealer.
Yeah. Oh, Kim, that's so good. Look at these ones.
Just like an array of arms laying.
Oh, my God.
That makes me think of... arms for the poor.
Arms
for the poor. Anyway,
oh my God. Or like the lend me your ears.
Lend me your ears. That's disgusting.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's another dance number at the arms dealer's encampment with like a sexy lady dancing, entertaining everyone.
This song, I did not really like it, but it has been stuck in my head since I watched it. So
I get that.
It happens, yeah.
And the boys use the party as cover to blow up this guy's explosives.
Yeah, but they're nice enough to wait till the end of the song to do it.
Exactly. And I also thought that they were going to like try to actually get Gabar. Like, I don't know. The situation seems more urgent than they're making it seem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, la, 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 la. We're falling in love. We're sitting under trees a lot. And, like, people keep getting attacked and dying. And that sucks. But, you know.
But there's still time for more dance numbers. I know. It, like, the fact that, like, this really extreme moment, like, pivots into the next scene.
Yes.
I was a little bit like, guys, I thought we were on a revenge mission.
Yeah, but no. Like, I thought they were really going to kick it into gear when we got the backstory, but not really. But yeah, so the boys managed to destroy half the explosives, which was their main goal. And Jay, like, gets shot in the arm, but it's totally fine. So it's fine. And then there's like a scene with Viru and Basanti where he pretends to be the voice of Lord Shiva telling her that she should marry Viru, only for Jay to casually walk by and be like, he's behind the statue.
I did like Jay ratting Viru out.
Yeah, that was good. And we then get a song where Viru continues to try to woo Basanti despite continuously annoying her.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy this as well. And after the song, Viru tells Jay that he wants to marry Basanti. He asks Jay to go talk to Basanti's aunt to make a good impression so that she'll say yes to the match. Jay refuses at first, but Viru guilts him into it. So Jay goes to talk to Basanti's aunt, and she asks about Viru, and Jay essentially tells her that Viru drinks, gambles, and visits prostitutes.
Sure.
Yeah, but he does it in, like, a nice way. It's very well done. And, of course, the aunt says no to Viru marrying Basanti.
Mm-hmm.
So Viru is super distraught about this, and so he gets super drunk and threatens to jump from the water tower, which, like, the villagers are like, no, don't. Basanti is scared for him, and so she begs her aunt to say yes to the match, and the aunt does, and Viru says, dying canceled. So now they're engaged.
Yay.
He's very dramatic. He's very over the top.
It's very Ryan Gosling in The Notebook energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is like, okay. Gabar and his goons then kill a village boy who I really liked. I was like, oh, this is a nice little side plot we've got going. And
Poor guy.
Yeah, he was on his way to the train station to start a new job.
His whole life ahead of him.
Yeah, and he gets killed, which is really terrible. And Gabar sends the villagers a note telling them that this is the risk of listening to Talker, and their families are in danger unless they hand over Jay and Viru tomorrow at sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
The villagers argue back and forth about their options. The next morning at sunrise, some of Gabar's bandits come across Jay and Viru face down in the dirt with a note that says, for every villager Gabar kills, four of his men will be killed. And it turns out that this was a trick, because the guys roll over and shoot at the bandits.
Yeah.
One of the bandits, yeah, they deserve it, the jerks. One of the bandits makes it out alive back to Gabar to tell him what happened. Then, we see Jay have a conversation with Talker's servant about Radha, and we learn that Radha used to be super talkative and vibrant, but since her husband's death, her world has no color, which is sad.
Very sad. I did want to just mention, I did learn that Jaya Bachchan was pregnant while filming this movie. And they made her run behind that cart while delivering lines for such a long time. And I was like, just watching it, I was like, this is so much running they're making her do, running and talking. Yeah. And they must have had to do it a bunch of times. And she was also pregnant.
And then she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
Nope.
Was that necessary? Couldn't we have had a different...
Yeah.
Situation.
Couldn't she have, like, jumped on the cart and, like, ridden with them or something?
Yeah.
Like, she's just jogging.
Whatever. She's got good cardio, I will say that.
Definitely.
So Jay continues to play the harmonica for her at night, and he then tells Viru that he wants to marry Radha.
Mm-hmm.
I also, sidebar, like, thought that the scene of the men talking about whether to say yes to this match, like, I don't know. I was hoping it would come back in a way, and it didn't really. That's my one comment, which we'll talk about more at the end of the recap. But I wanted to see Radha actually, like, get that color back.
I know. You know? That was one of my big feelings as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we brought it up, and I feel like the ending could have still stayed the same if we saw her flourish a little bit more and then be like, I've learned something from this. But it kind of just...
Yeah. Radha is the person who I leave the movie thinking about, like, I'm really sad about. Because, like, you know, Viru, you know, is in a sad place too, but he's got Basanti.
Right. Yeah. So,
anyway, yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that more.
Yeah.
Next, Basanti is waiting at the lake for Viru when some bandits sneak up on her. And she runs away in her horse-drawn cart, and she fights them off with her whip as they chase her. She does a great job.
Yes, she does.
Love it.
Yes.
Yeah. But then the cart topples, and as Viru rides after her to save her, he gets ambushed by more bandits who tie him up.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. And we all know it's bad if you get tied up in Gabar's camp because you might lose your arms.
You might lose your arms. I don't know what to tell you.
It's such a weird thing this guy does. Like, who does that?
This is the only guy I've ever seen do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, Anyway, the goons take both Basanti and Viru to Gabar, who is, unsurprisingly, a total creep.
Yeah.
He tells Basanti that if she wants to keep Viru safe, she must dance for the bad guys. Gabar says that if her feet stop moving, they'll shoot Viru. So Basanti dances.
Yes.
And does so spectacularly.
She does. I would have made a less athletic choice for my dancing if I were in this position.
Yeah, it's pretty exhausting.
I would maybe just do like some gentle kicks because that was all they said needed to keep moving. But yeah, I mean, she for being under such pressure, she does amazing.
I mean, she really gives it her all. So you gotta give her that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then these jerks like smash bottles around her feet so that she has to dance on broken glass.
Yeah.
And just as Basanti passes out from dancing so much, Jay shows up.
Yay.
Woot woot.
I did though really like the way that she passes out and rips Viru's shirt.
Yes.
Open.
I was like, that is a move.
It is.
Just put all your weight.
Rip.
Maybe shirts are made of sterner stuff these days.
I think it'd be an interesting experiment to see, like, would my entire weight.
Yeah.
I feel like it would, like a solid.
Depending on, that's true. If it's like a cotton tee.
Yeah. And Viru's, you know, he's an active guy, like probably, and this is probably an old shirt. Like he doesn't change
that's
his
so
clothes
true.
That much. Like maybe it's
you're right. It's threadbare.
Yes. Yes.
It would probably hurt the back of your neck though.
Well, it is kind of a tank top, so maybe it's more on.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I also like it doesn't get ripped the whole way down.
No, just down to the tummy, and then he can use it as pockets later for bullets.
Exactly. It's just a really deep V.
It's an extremely deep V.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jay gets all the bad guys to drop their weapons, and he shoots Viru free, and Viru, Basanti, and Jay all escape on horseback. And Gabar sends his guys after them, so there's another chase scene. Mm-hmm. Jay's horse gets shot, and he gets shot in the back, so he tells Viru and Basanti to take the remaining horse back to the village. Viru refuses to leave him, so Jay flips a coin for it, mm-hmm. and the coin says that Jay will stay. Viru tells him to be careful, and then he and Basanti make a run for it. Jay manages to shoot most of the bad guys, but then he runs out of bullets. Mm-hmm. And the bad guys throw dynamite at him, which I was like, you do have some time to like scurry away a little bit if you want to, but that's fine.
You don't have to, but you
no,
could.
But it's okay because the dynamite fizzles out. And then Jay dives for another gun lying nearby and gets it, but he gets shot again. Mm-hmm. And then the dynamite goes off.
Yeah.
A lot of booms happening.
Big booms.
But somehow Jay is still alive, and Viru comes galloping back, having delivered Basanti to safety, and Viru holds Jay as he says that he has no regrets because he spent his life with his best friend.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
It's so sweet.
It is. They're bros for life.
They truly are, even in death.
Yeah. Radha arrives during this moment. And Jay says that that's another unfinished story.
Yeah.
Which genuinely is unfinished in this plot.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the point.
Maybe. But I agree, though, that as an audience, it would have been more satisfying to see just something for Radha.
Yeah, otherwise, like, why do we get Radha's backstory? Or why do we get such a quiet focus on her when I'm like, at least give us a little something for her.
Yeah.
Even instead of this woman just remaining sad.
Right. Like, even something between her and Takker where it was like, you know, he's like, you know, you're my family now. Like, and just anything.
Yeah.
Would have been nice.
Or even just like one conversation between her and Jay
mm-hmm.
where they actually like talk.
Yeah. Instead of just like being at a distance the whole time. Yeah.
That's like my one main criticism about this movie.
I feel that.
But yeah, so then Jay dies.
He does.
The entire time this was happening, I was like, no,
I
don't do it.
Same. I'm very sad.
Yeah. Viru then finds the coin in Jay's hand and discovers that it has heads on both sides.
I when you think back to, like, the moments that all Jay, like when they decide to save Tucker and everything, it's, like, it makes you love Jay even more in death to know that he, like, he had this coin and he would use it to, like, to get what he wanted, but usually what he wanted was, like, very pure.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Like, I appreciate that reveal.
Yeah.
But now that Viru knows that Jay cheated to save his life, he's, like, really mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so he rides after Gabar's guys, and he kills them all.
Yeah.
Just, like, handily. And he reaches Gabar's camp and tells him to come out and face him. And Gabar does, and they fight. And Viru beats the crap out of Gabar. And as he's about to kill him, Tucker arrives and tells him to leave Gabar alive. Viru does, only because Jay had promised Tucker that they would. Mm-hmm. And so in honor of Jay, he's like, okay. And now we get to where I was really laughing. It's like not funny, but it's amusing.
It's a little funny.
It's a little funny. Gabar asks Tucker how he's going to kill him without any arms. And Tucker says that he'll use his feet to kill him. And then he jump kicks him in the face.
This again was a moment that, like, the way his body moved was...
Well, because also, as a human being, have you ever tried to jump without using your arms?
I don't think so.
It's very hard. We use our arms for, like, momentum.
Yeah.
So the idea of, like, jumping that high without using your arms.
And then there's also nothing to catch you, so you're just going to fall on your head.
Yeah. Also, though, the height you'd have to get to kick a standing man in the face.
Totally.
Who are we, Tiger Shroff?
I guess so. I don't know. I was hoping that they would foot wrestle. That would have been funny. Yeah, or leg wrestle, you also, know, when you do, like, you lock legs. Yeah.
That would also have been very good. But no, Tucker just, like, kicks him a bunch more times. And they fight some more, and Tucker steps on both Gabar's hands slash arms, mm-hmm. so he can't use them anymore.
Yeah.
So now they're even. And just as Tucker is about to step on Gabar's head for the killing blow, the police show up. Tucker says that the police want Gabar dead or alive, so he'll give them to him. Sorry, he'll give him to them dead. The police remind him that he used to be an officer of the law. And so then, instead of killing him, Tucker kicks Gabar away, and the police handcuff him. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my thing. I'm like, Gabar's just going to break out of prison again.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's very reasonable. Now, just hold on to that idea.
Ooh, okay. I'm wondering if there was going to be a sequel or something.
No, but there is more to say about this ending.
Okay. And then we see Jay's funeral, and finally we see Viru saying goodbye to Tucker, then boarding a train. And Basanti is on there waiting for him.
Yeah.
And so at least they can live happily ever after.
Yes. Even if Radha can't.
And then we do see Radha just standing sadly in a window.
Yep, just like another man I loved, dead.
Yeah, and again, like, I just wish we would have gotten a little bit more from her before Jay died.
Yeah.
Because there could have, like, still been that sadness, but then also, you know, just be like, well, he taught me to love again, or, you know, whatever.
Right, because I feel like the point was to show them, like, kind of bringing light into each other's lives, and then to just have him die without us really seeing anything resolved for her, it does make it kind of pointless, which is a bummer, because otherwise I really liked that love story. I thought it was really, mm-hmm. really sweet. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. But honestly, otherwise, I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Like,
I did feel its length a little bit, mm-hmm. but maybe that was more because I was on a time crunch than anything. Like, I have to admit that. Like, I do feel like it probably could have been just a solid 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel its length. I was super into it. The commercials didn't help The commercials, there were so,
that was the thing. It's like, yeah, you get like 3 minutes of commercials every like 15 minutes.
Right. So you're so like a 3.5 hour movie becomes
like a four hour movie.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to me
today. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like the mix of like action. Like, I was never sick of like the shooting and men falling off of horses and like scrambling and fighting. Like, I thought that was all really well done.
Yeah.
I do think then combined with like the fun bits.
Right. Too. Yeah. It's a good mix of genres. Like, we talk a lot about how, you know, Bollywood movies are so often intended to do everything. There's supposed to be something in there for everyone, and there are a lot of movies that fall short of that, but this one in my mind did not. Like, I think it hit all the notes that it set out to hit, and it, I had a lot of fun watching it. I did then go and rewatch the, like, just parts of the Superboys sequence where they were making the movie, because I wanted to see if I caught more references. And I did. They call, instead of Gabbar Singh, it's Rubber Singh.
Yes.
Which I didn't realize. Like, you know, it just goes over your head when you don't know the real villain's name. And then they have, like, this whole thing where, like, Tucker has blades in his shoes. And, like, their ending is that he's got, like, shoe blades that he, like,
I do like that touch. Yeah, that really would change the outcome of that, like, jump kick.
Yes.
Blades in the shoes.
Which, yeah.
Slits his neck.
Yeah. So the 50th anniversary of Sholay's release was a few days ago when we were recording, but, you know, a little more than a week ago when this episode comes out on August 15th.
We didn't even plan that.
I know, it just happened. But also, happy Independence Day, India.
Oh, yes.
From, you know, now, yeah, like a week and a half ago. But so a bunch of celebrities posted about the 50-year anniversary, in particular those who are related to the guys who were involved. So this was, I didn't know this, Salman Khan is the son of Salim Khan, Javed Akhtar's writing partner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so he commented on how prolific the film was, remembering hearing the music and dialogues when they were visiting other people's homes. So, like, it was just out there in the world. He was encountering it all the time. Sunny and Bobby Deol are Dharmendra's sons.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they praised their father's performance and recalled being on set as children. In an interview with the Press Trust of India, Farhan Akhtar, of course, Javed Akhtar's son, said, quote, "All of us who have seen Sholay have been influenced by it on a subconscious level. Our love for mainstream movies comes from Sholay. Also, it's very rare for films to come along where you remember every single character, down to a guy who says one line. You remember the name of that person." He also said, quote, "It's now become a part of our collective consciousness. You can meet any Indian and start discussing Sholay. It's like something that connects us."
Which is kind of what we'd picked up on, I feel like, over the years of learning more. It was like, this keeps coming up. So, and now we finally watched it.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I get it, too. And it's just, it's going to be so fun to see now going forward, like, references and watching stuff we've already watched and getting the references. Like, and I'm looking forward to there being more of that as we keep exploring films from these earlier eras. But then, of course, Abhishek Bachchan, son of Amitabh, called Sholay a, quote, "seminal moment in Indian cinema," but also added that his father doesn't often reflect on his early career, believing that, quote, "his time is right now." And
I
respect that.
I love Amitabh, yes. Again, like, I, you know, Tom Hanks is the Amitabh Bachchan of the U.S. Like, I was just going to be like, God, I just get such a Tom Hanks vibe from him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you're so wise. Like, I just, anything you say, I'll be like, huh, yeah. I'm with you, Amitabh.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hema Malini gave an interview with the Hindustan Times where she reflects on her character Basanti's staying power. She says that she initially didn't want the role because it was kind of unserious, But Ramesh Sippy, the director, talked her into it, and she says Sholay was one of her favorite films of her career.
Yeah.
She describes Basanti as an independent woman, self-made, and ahead of her time, which was what you were saying at the start.
Mm-hmm.
She also recollects filming with Dharmendra, who, again, she married in 1980, saying he was normal and natural off camera, but when filming started, he fully embodied all of Viru's silliness.
Yeah, I also just, sidebar, I was just thinking about, like, what makes an actor great and how it is, like, that it factor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I feel like Dharmendra obviously has it. Again, only bringing it up now because this was the first time I've really witnessed it.
Yes.
But then, like, Shah Rukh having the same thing. And, like, Amitabh, I can see, also has it, but it's, like, a different.
It's a different flavor, factor. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm, like, I don't know. Dharmendra and Shah Rukh Khan, to me, kind of have the same sparkle.
There's that level of charisma where I'm, like, I truly think I could watch you do anything and be entertained.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that way about Ranveer Singh as well.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about before, like... Yeah.
I do think that there are certain people who come around who you're just like, wow, you've really got that. You've really got that power.
I was thinking about like there's once in a like one in every generation.
In every generation.
Yeah. There is a slayer. Anyway.
So, to celebrate 50 years of Sholay, Sippy Films is collaborating with a toy manufacturer to make collectible action figures, as well as making some other merch, which is cool. They also re-released a remastered version of the film back in June, which includes the film's original ending. More on that in a moment.
Okay.
The remastered version premiered in Italy, of all places, at a film festival there. It's going to Toronto in September, and then we'll have screenings in New York and London before being released in India.
That's fun.
They also are producing a documentary called The Making of Sholay, which is going to be available to stream later this year, probably in October or November, which I think is exciting.
Yeah, we should definitely watch that.
Yeah.
We just choose the right things at the right times. It just happens.
It does, like, it is sometimes just, like, so fortuitous where it's like, yeah, we should just watch Sholay casually. And then it's like, it's the 50-year anniversary. We should totally not be saying that on air, though. We should be pretending like this was the plan all along.
This totally was our plan. Yeah. Nah, that's just our energy. We're just lucky.
We are. Yeah. But now for some fun facts about the film. It ran for 5 years in a theater in Mumbai, and it held the title of the highest grossing Hindi film for 19 years.
Wow. Yeah. Until...
Until, I don't remember what the movie was that dethroned it.
I was going to be like DDLJ?
It was not DDLJ. I would have remembered if it was DDLJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was almost the right amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, adjusted for inflation, the film's earnings reach above 3,000 crore, which puts it alongside, if not ahead of, most of the other, like, high-grossing films that have come out. So still raking in the dough.
Yeah.
And remember, that's after an underwhelming opening, as we talked about in previous weeks. In its first week, the film was decidedly a flop, and theaters were talking about pulling it, and Ramesh Sippy was considering, like, literally, like, he was, like, thinking he was going to have to reshoot and re-edit the story to, like, soften it and make it more palatable to audiences. But the writing team of Salim Javed held strong, and they released a braggadocious ad claiming the film would eventually earn 1 crore in every territory. And they were ultimately right and then some. And
because it probably makes people be like, oh, well, then what's the big deal about this film? Yeah, I'll go see it.
Yeah. And the film's popularity started to take hold in its second week and onwards and upwards from there. It was voted the film of the millennium in a BBC India online poll in 1999. It clearly super prolific. And again, just remembering that it didn't start off that way is always important.
Yes. I like that.
So more fun facts. Amitabh and Jaya were already married, and Jaya was pregnant. We already talked about that. Pregnant with their daughter during filming.
Mm-hmm.
Again, relatively early in Amitabh's career, which is why he was billed fourth in the credits, and he made about a half a lakh, or roughly 6,000 US dollars less than Dharmendra. Which, in terms of, like, the percentages of their salary, it was, like, he made, like, two-thirds of Dharmendra's salary.
Right, right.
And so now I will get to the original ending of the film.
Yes.
Which had Thakur kick Gabbar Singh to death. So he did kill him, and he did use his feats to do it.
Yeah.
But the Indian censor board called this ending too violent. This was in the midst of India's state of emergency under Indira Gandhi.
Okay, yes.
And so the censor board felt that a former cop enacting vigilante justice was less appropriate than the actual cops showing up to cart Gabbar Singh off to jail.
So it was like a political move. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But given that we live in different times, you know,
yeah,
there are certainly things you can say about these times, but different.
Yes.
They are now re-releasing the film with that original ending. So people will get to see Thakur, like, take his full revenge.
Yeah. Because, like, that's the thing. The whole thing is that Thakur was playing by the rules, and then it didn't work out for him.
Right.
So, like, I don't think he would be like, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Like, it happens so quickly. Like, it's very unsatisfying. And I don't think I fully, like, realized how I felt about it until I read that that was the original ending. And then I was like, you know what? You're right. That is so much better. That does have a much better impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's also, like, sure. Is it as heroic? No, not really. Like, but that's life. Like, he's been permanently altered by what this man has done to his family. He wouldn't just send him to prison for him to escape again and then wreak more havoc.
Exactly. Like, no. Yeah, that didn't work the first time.
No.
It went very badly.
Yeah. So I appreciate that that was the original ending, and it makes so much more sense for the writing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of Gabbar Singh, while obviously people love Jay and Viru from this movie, Gabbar Singh was kind of like the breakout character from this movie.
Well, yeah, I would talk about him.
Yeah, yeah.
I am talking about him. He chopped guy's arms off.
He did do that. Again, very remarkable. Many of his lines are the ones that get quoted in other movies, and he's been memeified many times over. In 1976, actor Amjad Khan reprised his role as Gabbar Singh in a biscuit commercial targeted at children.
That's terrifying.
Product management for the biscuits determined that children would rather be the villain than the hero, and they were right. The ad was hugely popular. The actors who played a couple of his sidekicks also reprised their roles. Javed Akhtar wrote the script for this commercial, and they sourced props from the actual film to make it authentic. Also, Amjad agreed to participate only on the condition that his salary be donated to charity. But he wanted everyone to know that he didn't take money for this ad, because at that point, it was considered, like, lowbrow, like, below the dignity of a film actor to do ads, which, very different from today.
Yeah, I mean, and we see that in Hollywood too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the similar thing of like, oh gosh, no, you don't do ads or you don't do TV.
You don't have to, like, do that. Yeah.
And then things just changed. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, totally fine.
Yeah.
It just increases your visibility.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, you just, people can't make money the way that they used to. So.
Well, that's also true.
There have been many adaptations, parodies, and offshoots of Sholay, including an animated series called Sholay Adventures, which features Jay and Viru as 8-year-olds.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah, with Gabbar reimagined as a tech-savvy supervillain plotting world domination, and Thakur leading a secret police agency named Sholay.
I actually love that. Like, I would watch that.
I would, too. It sounds super fun.
It's very, like, Kids Next Door.
Yes, yes. But that's it. That was my research. I really just, like, I Googled 50 years of Sholay and just gathered all the fun stuff that came up.
Yeah.
But I just, again, we've said it numerous times, but I'm just so glad that we watched this movie. I loved it so much. And it's definitely one that, like, you know, I would recommend to people to watch. Like, I would say, like, yeah, definitely watch Sholay. It's good stuff.
It was really good. And honestly, like, held up way more than I would have thought.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
You know, like, I don't really think there was anything in there, just upon a quick reflection, that I was like, ooh, that doesn't age well, or, you know.
Other than the horse stuff, everything.
Oh, the horse stuff didn't age well. Like,
yeah. but, like, the content, you know, the script and the story.
The content.
Aged well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was so fun. Thanks for the additional context and fun facts. And now we have so many things to look forward to, like, the rest of this year.
Yes.
Regarding Sholay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Also, really quick, because I just feel like we talked about Dharmendra, but we didn't really talk about Amitabh too much as far as his acting in this film.
Yeah.
Solid.
He was great.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I get his allure.
Yeah. I do, too. He is also very handsome.
Yes.
And that's not the only thing I value about men, but it's not the bottom of the list either.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
But he definitely, he does that very, like, he hits that mysterious note.
Yes. Yes.
Very well.
Yeah. Yes. I think just... they were both so well cast. Like, I just, you know, I think they both were so perfect for the parts that they were playing.
Yeah. And, that and was their chemistry together was really good.
Yeah.
But great. Okay. Bollywood stuff.
Yes. I do have one fun little tidbit.
Okay.
Which is that today the teaser for the movie Tama dropped, which is the Matic Films vampire movie.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. So Ayushman Khurrana and Rashmika Mandanna are the two leads. It definitely, I mean, the teaser didn't give a lot away, but it gives me the sense that it's going to be kind of like Dracula-esque, where it's like there's the villain vampire who like corrupts a woman, and then there's like the man who's in love with her. Like, that's the sense I got from the teaser.
I'm into it.
It was very like dark in terms of like hard to see, and there were not subtitles, so I could be way off, but that's my guess.
We have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Oh, I'm excited. And I wonder, hopefully we'll be able to watch that by the end of this year.
By the end of this year, I hope so. Yeah, it's coming out Diwali, which is I think end of October, mid to late October this year. So, so maybe hopefully. Not, but so yeah, we'll see if it's available for us to stream by then, by the end of the year.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
I forgot that was happening.
I know. Yeah, I'm super pumped about it.
Got to add to the, what do you call it? The cinematic universe.
The horror comedy cinematic universe. Yeah.
Yes. Great. Anything else Bollywood news?
No, that's it.
Cool. Pluggables. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Do what you do there. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a rating or review. Mm-hmm. But regardless of whatever you choose to do or not do, thank you so much for listening.
We do appreciate you for so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
And join us on YouTube and Spotify as well, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch. And you can find those playlists listed, linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are going to keep this train running.
Yeah, we are. No matter how many bandits try to... Yeah. No matter how many times we have to blow it up, we're going to keep this train running.
Exactly. With our next film we'll be watching, which is not a film, but is actually a documentary, we're going to watch Angry Young Men.
Yes.
Yes.
Which we've mentioned before. It came out, I think, maybe at the end of last year, but we've been wanting to watch it and feeling very Very inspired by Cholet. We want to learn more about this era, about the Salim Javed writing team, and maybe, after do a little bit more watching of the Amitabh Angry Young Man cinematic universe.
I'm feeling it. So like let's go. This is where I am right now.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
I am too. And you know, it's like the Angry Young Man was designed to like speak to an era, you know, like speak to a moment in time. And like, I think I'm in my Angry Young Man era. Except it's more like my like angry middle-aged witch era. But it's the same kind of flavor of thing.
It's the same. It's the same vibe.
I mean, plot description on IMDb, a documentary telling the story behind the formidable writing duo, Salim Khan and Javed Akhtar.
Okay, super, like, sweet and to the point.
Is what it is.
Short and sweet is what the correct term is. Yeah. I got it eventually. Angry Young Man is available on Amazon Prime, and it's only 3 episodes. Like, it's less than 2 hours total, I think, right? Think so.
45 minutes.
Oh, no, it's not going to be less than 2. It's going to be just over 2. Yeah. Math is hard sometimes.
It really is, yeah.
Stay in school, kids. Learn math. Anyway, the synopsis on Amazon Prime is Salim Javed, the legendary screenwriters of 70s Hindi cinema, co-wrote 24 films in 11 years, Whoa. Of which 20 were blockbusters.
That's wild. What a success rate.
That is like, that's very good. That's 80%.
That's excellent, excellent odds there.
They created the angry young man, the brooding anti-hero who captured the imagination of an entire nation.
Mm.
Like the character, Salim Khan and Javed Akhtar, two outsiders, defied all odds and rose to superstardom.
Ugh.
Hindi cinema never saw a cultural collaboration as powerful again.
I'm, like, so excited. I mean, I know that, like...
Me too, this, that gave me goosebumps.
Just like all the other documentaries we watched, like, I'm pretty sure this is, like, produced by the family and families and everything, but I'm just like...
Sure, whatever.
I do not mind being sucked into a story that is rooted in reality.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great.
It is gonna be great. I'm excited.
Yeah. Cool. So... Enjoy.
Yeah.
And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Bollywood definitely needed Cholet.
It really did. And we also needed Cholet.
We did. We didn't know how much we needed Cholet.
No, and I think that's the thing. Like, everyone needs Cholet, and some of them don't even know it.
Right. Yeah.
Done.
Get it out there. Get it out there to more of the people.
This is our mission.
Yeah. I mean, it literally is. That's like what we're doing.
I mean, that's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Anyway. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.